It's Wednesday, July 25th. I'm Paul Joseph Watson. This is InfoWars Nightly News, coming up on the show tonight.
Tonight, Paul Joseph Watson speaks with investigative journalist George Heminger about the growing numbers of TSA officers appearing at train stations and bus stations nationwide. Then, Mayor Bloomberg illegally asked police to strike as elitists wage an all-out assault on our Second Amendment rights. All that and more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Breaking news tonight on InfoWars Nightly News. House passes Ron Paul's Audit the Fed bill. In a move that serves as a capstone to Ron Paul's colourful career, the House on Wednesday approved a bill that would let Congress's chief investigators conduct a full audit of the Federal Reserve's shrouded decision-making process. And basically it passed 327 to 98. They're saying that Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is unclear whether he has the time to carve out for the legislation this year. Other reports are saying that Reid's just going to kill it by refusing to even put it up in the Senate for a vote. So basically, this is stage one of the fight. Huge political pressure now needs to be thrown on Senator Reid to try and get this up for a vote in the Senate, because he's already passed the House. Remember, 10 years Ron Paul has been trying to get this bill through the House, a decade, and now finally today we have that victory and Audit the Fed moves forward. Of course, what it's going to do, it's going to lift the lid on the payments to foreign banks, the deliberate ploy on behalf of the Fed, telling banks, ordering banks not to lend, and then the whole intentionally engineered economic collapse. It's going to open a huge can of worms. It's through the House, and now we've just got to put huge pressure on to get it through the Senate. But massive victory for Audit the Fed and a crowning achievement for Congressman Ron Paul. TSA expands invasion to California train stations and bus terminals. Footage shot at the Oceanside Transit Center in Southern California documents how the rollout of TSA workers is expanding out of the airports and into train stations and bus terminals. We've actually got the interview coming up shortly with the guy who shot this footage. Basically shows TSA agents with police and drug-sniffing dogs outside this transit station in Southern California. And the TSA were actually asked by the videographer, George Heminger, what are you doing, why are you here? They basically told him, no filming, you're allowed to film, we'll let you film, but if you do, we're going to harass you and ask you questions. So again, the TSA agents are God. They're expanding out the airports. No more, you know, oh, just don't fly. No, that's not going to wash anymore. They're on the highways, bus terminals, ferry ports, they're even at prom nights, for God's sake. And now more footage of the expanding TSA occupying army. Of course, back in April, they tried to pull this stunt on Houston buses. Massive public revolt. People infuriated, up in arms about it. They had to suspend the program. So we'll see if it unfolds similarly in Southern California. But what's exciting about this is it's one of the top stories on the Drudge Report this evening. So we got hundreds of thousands of people watching this video, and we've got the interview coming up shortly. And so let's take a look at the clip that George shot of the TSA agents in Southern California.
So hey guys, what's up? Hey, this is G for TM at Oceanside Metrolink Station Transit Center. And behind me you have TSA agents. There's about six, seven of them with some drug-sniffing dogs too as well. And I talked to them. Apparently you can take photographs and video at the train station. You're still allowed. You may get questioned for it, but I did speak to them. It's a relatively new thing here, but I just wanted to show you guys that it is happening. There are TSA at the train stations in California.
Fox News Channel questions narrative of Batman massacre. A local Fox News channel came off sounding more like InfoWars than the mainstream media when it listed a series of unanswered questions that challenge the official narrative of the Batman massacre and suggest a wider plot. And basically in this clip, which you can see on InfoWars.com, it's out of Cincinnati. It's Fox News 19. And it's intriguing because it shows how the establishment media increasingly is being forced to act more like the alternative media in order to retain its viewership and remain relevant, because they're having to ask the questions that the likes of the New York Times, the Washington Post aren't asking to retain their viewers. And basically in this clip, the reporter, Ben Swan, lists all the questions surrounding the tragic shooting in Colorado last week. And they're the same questions that have been shared by the alternative media community. Multiple eyewitnesses we know saw the shooter, the alleged shooter, James Holmes, talking to somebody on a cell phone, standing in the emergency exit and beckoning someone to come towards him. Of course, we had the initial police reports of two shooters. That quickly dissipated as the lone wolf theory was aggressively pushed. And then, of course, we've got how he was able to arm himself with this arsenal of weapons, given the fact that he was an unemployed graduate student. Then, of course, you've got the compelling fact that, you know, he's laid out his apartment with this intricate and professionally set up booby-trapped network of bombs. And then the first thing he does when he's arrested is tells the police that his apartment is booby-trapped. I mean, if he's trying to kill as many people as possible and he's spent all this time and effort and money booby-trapping his apartment to a professional degree that they said was reminiscent of a warlike situation, why is he telling the police as soon as he's arrested? Then, of course, you got the fact that he's a neuroscience student. How on earth has he obtained professional-level explosive skills that would be more typical of an expert? None of this makes sense. And it's interesting that Fox News Channel, this local Fox News Channel in Cincinnati, is now being forced to ask these questions because the mainstream media just isn't asking them. So more unfolding developments, more unanswered questions with the shooting in Colorado last week. But now we're going to hand back to Austin, Texas for another story from our reporter Linda West.
Thanks, Paul. This is Linda West reporting for InfoWars Nightly News. The Batman massacre just keeps raising more and more questions. Just recently, the Colorado police have recovered from the Colorado University, where James Holmes attended, a notebook that was sent to his professor over a week before the massacre actually occurred. They have no idea why the notebook was not delivered to the professor and why it sat languishing around the mailroom for over a week. It raises some questions as to if this could have been averted if it had actually been found, because the notebook details the massacre and actually shows pictures. He drew stick figure pictures of stick figures being blown away by bullets and stick figures shooting the people. And when I say figures, I am speaking plural, which again raises the question, did this man act alone? And also, why in the world would he send this notebook to somebody which could have stopped the massacre from happening if it had been read? Which then also goes to say, why did he tell the police that his apartment was rigged? So let's start with some more questions that keep coming up around this event. Number one, if this gentleman was a Joker fan, and that's the reason he went and pulled off this horrible massacre, then why did he dye his hair red? The Joker rarely appears with red hair. Only in one movie did he have red hair, and all the other movies he has green hair. So why would he choose red hair? Doesn't make any sense if that was his motive. And for that matter, where is the motive? There doesn't seem to be a revenge motive. Drugs have been seemingly brought into play, but he didn't seem to be a drug addict beforehand. He just seems to be recovering from drugs now that he's in the courtroom. And then finally, what exactly was this guy's plan on escape? Obviously, he couldn't go back to his apartment because he had it rigged to blow up. And he wasn't going to go out with a bang after shooting all these people, or he would have killed himself. So his plan was to go back and hang out by his car? It just didn't make any logical sense. So here we are once again sitting with more and more questions and no answers. But for certain, tighter gun controls are not the answer. So, for our quote of the day, let's go to George W. Bush, who says, it will take time to restore chaos. We actually have that clip by George Bush.
You're free, and freedom is beautiful. And, you know, it'll take time to restore chaos. It'll take time to restore chaos.
Now I'm sending you back to Paul Watson in England, and I'm Linda West signing off with InfoWars Nightly News.
Thanks, Linda. And again, just more amazing unanswered questions, inconsistencies with this massacre, this Batman massacre last week, as the political elite and the media try to exploit it, which is the subject of our next story. Bloomberg, cops should go on strike until Americans surrender their guns. This is Kurt Nimmo, Infowars.com. New York's gun-grabbing mayor Michael Bloomberg told Piers Morgan the other night that police around the country should go on strike until the American people stop practicing their right to own firearms.
I don't understand why the police officers across this country don't stand up collectively and say, we're going to go on strike. We're not going to protect you unless you, the public, through your legislature, do what's required to keep us safe. After all, police officers want to go home to their families.
And of course, it was within hours, even before that appearance by Bloomberg, that he was on national radio, even before the EMTs had left the scene of the tragedy, exploiting it for political purposes and his gun control agenda. Then, of course, we had Michael Moore, who appeared on the same show by Piers Morgan, who himself had tweeted, again, just hours after the shooting, trying to exploit it, hijack it, politicize it for gun control. And, you know, Piers Morgan, I mean, come on, this is somebody who should stick to doing what he knows, which is judging talent shows involving morons. I mean, he's not even American. And he's insulting God-given American rights. And then he has Bloomberg on, he has Michael Moore on. Moore goes on and attacks Obama. Yes, Michael Moore attacked Obama for not hijacking the tragedy quick enough. Of course, we also had the article out of Time magazine where they slammed Obama for not immediately seizing upon the shooting to push the gun control agenda. So he got Bloomberg on, Moore goes on and pushes, you know, his old collectivist socialist line. And then he says he believes he's in the majority pushing for gun control, when actually all the polls show that he's not. He's in the minority. Indeed, even after the shooting, the latest polls show that the majority of Americans support gun rights over gun restrictions. And it comes back to this stupefying, twisted logic again and again with socialists like Moore and Bloomberg, which is they believe the state should have the monopoly on force. And, you know, when cops shoot at unarmed innocent people, like in Anaheim over the past few days, you know, there's no call to disarm the police. It's only the victim public that gets disarmed. You know, it was the victim public in Norway, which has one of the strictest set of gun control laws in the world, that was disarmed. Anders Breivik is allowed to purchase all his weapons. He kills 77 people. Gun control did not stop that massacre in Norway. It's not going to stop this one. So, after a brief lull, but not in Bloomberg's case, he was on the air within hours exploiting the tragedy. It now seems that Obama is going to seize upon what his supporters demand and push for more gun control. Of course, he admitted he was working, quote, under the radar on gun control about 18 months ago in a White House meeting, and that is now going to come to fruition by exploiting this tragedy last week. And now we're going to throw to Alex Jones a special comment on Mayor Michael Bloomberg's agenda to hijack this tragedy for gun control. Here's a clip.
You better strap yourselves in, because our worst fears and analysis is coming true. They have dropped the hammer, and they are coming for our guns. They're calling for open, complete banning of handguns, rifles, and anything that is not black ball and powder. They are calling for it everywhere. They are hitting, and they are hitting hard. The seditious treason by the foreign banks that have seized our country is being spewed on CNN, MSNBC, everywhere. They have had, again, gaggles of foreigners like Piers Morgan and others come on and say, ban our guns. Michael Moore has desecrated the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and said, basically, get rid of it. Bloomberg, ladies and gentlemen, and nobody's calling him on this. Kurt Nimmo has an article just went up. Bloomberg, cops should go on strike. Americans surrender their guns. That's saying government, you're separate from the people. You force the public to do what you want. You force the government. That's a paramilitary coup. Bloomberg is calling for a coup. That's what that is. Now, understand, the only places this is going to cause a big problem, a serious problem, is New York, Chicago, L.A., cesspits of big government, and victim disarmament. In areas where people can't keep and bear arms, it will release hell on earth. Hey, I'm calling your bluff, Bloomberg. Turn your cops off for a week while they're out there shaking down the public. And turn loose your criminal brethren and watch New York and Chicago and L.A. burn. Burn it! That's what anarchy is. He's calling for what Bane in Batman calls for. Lock up the cops in the subterranean pit and let them have their French Revolution. Listen, you authoritarian scum that hates this country and wants to use Homeland Security on people like me. Get out of my country, Bloomberg, and you too, Piers Morgan, and you too, Michael Moore. You're a bunch of radicals that want to take over and re-educate this country. You are criminal, filthy despots with all your armed guards and the rest of it. You need to go to prison. Your cohort shipped guns into Mexico to blame the Second Amendment to try to get our guns. And listen to me well, folks. There's nothing these terrorists won't do to try to destroy the Republic. They've already gotten their health care plan. It's so unconstitutional, it's a joke. They've already got their drones, their secret arrest, and everything else getting lined up. They want to fight with the American people, and they plan on organizing the police against us. Well, let me just tell the police something. I've seen the polls that over 95% of you claim you're pro-Second Amendment. Well, that's good, because if you're stupid enough to start a civil war with the American people, you know in your gut right now the American people will smash you to hell. They will take you to hell, and you know it. Now, I'm going to tell the criminals like Bloomberg and the rest of them something. You're on notice, scum. You've picked on the spirit of 1776, and you may think, just because you've drugged and dumbed down and got half the public in a trance, that you're going to win this. But you don't have at least 70 to 80 million people in this country that know exactly who and what you are, criminal. And it is going to be your arrogant, chutzpah-filled evil, your bravado, that is going to bring down your new world order. That goes for Obama and the globalists and the big mega banks that run this country. People aren't going to give you the guns, and you think that's going to start a civil war, and you're just going to sit it out. We are going to identify who did this. You understand? If you get what you want and trigger this civil war, you are going to be brought to justice, okay? Everybody understands who the enemy is. Everybody knows it's the offshore banks that have taken over. We knew it was coming, but it is a full-on, direct, total assault on the right to keep and bear arms, the heart of our republic, one of the few rights still left. They've turned our property under property taxes into rented from the government. They have decimated family rights. They are starting forced inoculations at government training centers all over the country. They are arming to the teeth and creating swarms of new bureaucracies and sending out just huge torrential cacophonies of government locusts to eat our sustenance down to the bone. It is incredible. Ladies and gentlemen, the news I have this morning is so over the top that it has shaken me to my very core, because it confirms everything yet again of what we're facing. An authoritarian, despot, tyranny-driven, organized evil of foreign megabanks that in thousands of publications now in the last 3 years publicly brag they have conquered us through fractional reserve banking and derivatives fraud. They crow from the rooftops that we are their chattel slaves. The military has been captured by NATO and the UN. Congress has been told to stand down, and they have followed orders. Our country is seized at the federal level. The states have been predominantly federalized. The last vestiges of the old republic are being dismantled by globalist wrecking balls as we speak. The republic is down in flames, exploding in front of us. The old republic is gone. We are captured. We are overrun. Warning worldwide. The global crime syndicate intends to use the military arsenal accrued by the republic during the banker takeover transition period as a exploit weapon against the planet. We will then, of course, take the blame, be militarily destroyed down the road. That is the plan from the highest levels. And all of our analysts agree on that. We are a suicide kamikaze empire, attacking everything good, attacking everything independent, everything sovereign. From the family to human DNA itself, we are under unmitigated, unprecedented, sustained, vicious, total core of evil attack. The general public medically is in a trance. Mainline journals, you can look that up. Every disease and neurological disorder is exploding. We are under soft kill. Mayday, mayday, mayday. Worldwide emergency transmission. The United States is no more. The Republic has been smashed and overrun and taken. They are now beginning the preparation for re-education mop-up phase of what's left of the states, counties, and cities that could be organized into a resistance. Mayday, 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 mayday. The Republic is in an emergency situation. People inside the NSA, ATF, FBI are leaking the criminal plans, the re-education camps, the gun confiscation plans. The military's response at the top is to say, yes, those are real documents, big deal. Or to try to arrest the whistleblowers. We need more whistleblowing. We need everybody to choose what side they're on and to start going public if you can, if not, getting the info out, or at least not executing these orders that you're being given. That is treason, it is lawlessness, and it is the gutting of our country and our families. It is the delivery of our sad republic into the hands of the slaughterhouse of the New World Order. The republic has already been cut 1,000 times and lies in a coma. And the globalists are now preparing to use our near lifeless corpse to launch World War III. It is beyond saddening. To see Mayor Bloomberg engage in absolute criminal rebellion and sedition against the skeleton of the old republic, to see him openly call for military coup in the United States with the traitor, phone hacker, criminal Piers Morgan, while that demonic banker, globalist, enforcer, Michael Moore, denigrates our founders and our republic and calls for scrapping the Constitution, and they call for banning all guns and saying maybe you can have a single-shot black powder gun. And, of course, they'll get those as well. It is unspeakable just how evil these people are. You notice they're billionaires, they're 100 millionaires. They get their money from the power structure that is monopolistic. They're not communist folks. They use communists at the ground level as their siege force, as their jihadis, just like they're using Al-Qaeda in Libya and Syria as their shock troops. They use the communists the same way, and I am reeling right now by the just brazen attack. And the fact that people don't understand law or the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, that what Bloomberg, as a sitting mayor, it's one thing if a citizen called for this, but a sitting mayor calling for police nationwide to stand down and not respond to fires, robberies, rapes, killings, is a call for anarchy and holding us hostage, and is a call to bring the country to its knees, in his view, to hold us hostage. And that gives you an idea into his mindset. Why do these people stage these shootings, or stage Fast and Furious that cause thousands of shootings and deaths? So they can have enough chaos. That's what the memo show with Fast and Furious. Here is the method out in the open, because they think you're in a trance. And most of their audience is, literally. Watching television, they're in a daydream state. That's a medical fact, folks. When you suspend disbelief, you've now gone into a dream state. Now, continuing here, he's open, just like they write memos saying we need a new Oklahoma or 9/11 or mass shooting. We published that article yesterday with all their quotes. to reconnect and be able to take over. They think you're stupid, so they communicate out in the open. And he was communicating with police chiefs on the show last night when he said, imagine your servants under the state constitutions, under the city charters and county charters, to go out hired by the people to protect and serve. And he says, oh, cops are being killed by guns. Actually, the number one cause is automobile accident. Numbers of cops getting killed is actually about flat. It's higher in the 70s and 80s. Look it up. You got a better chance of, you know, a cop, I think it's like a 6-to-1 dying in a car wreck and being shot. Just being shot, not dying from the shot. And Kurt Nemo has a big article on that. Actually, guys, I didn't bring that in. Oh, no, here it is. Something to keep in mind is hysterical gun grabbers attack the Second Amendment, and it goes over. You've got a 0.1 chance of being involved in a mass shooting of 5 or more victims out of the shooting statistics. You've got a 0.1 chance. The most common death by gun that they put in here is people breaking in your house or gangbangers killing each other. 20-plus times, it's like 21 on average, guns are used to frustrate crime to every time they're used in crime. And the system knows that. They just don't promote those statistics, but I don't want to digress here. The magnitude of Bloomberg, who sues gun manufacturers around the country to try to shut them down that way, using his city, that crime command center of the globalist, to try to shut down our Second Amendment, that's failed. And so he says to police, I'm going to play the clip here in a moment. He says, what you do is you just go on strike until the government and the people do what you want and ban these guns, like they've done in New York. I say call his bluff, but that is an act of terrorism. He's saying, hold us hostage. You know, next what? What are they saying next? Turn the power off? What are they saying next? Have us under siege? Again, but the only places this will really work is Detroit, Chicago, New York, where they've taken over, where they've restricted the guns, where they've totally banned them. L.A. would collapse within 3 days into fire and mass death. So cleanse yourselves, L.A., New York, Chicago, do it. Have your cops not be out there shaking people down for revenue generation and the rest of it, and give the green light to all your little anarchy people to start the French Revolution. You notice Batman just came out. That's what it's all about. It's about French Revolution, anarchy in New York. So go ahead. You know, where the cops aren't allowed to do anything, so this happens. Go ahead. The only place your terrorism will work is where you've made people dependent, where they're in these artificial metropolises and can't take care of themselves. And that's your model. That was your model in Fast and Furious, criminals, was to create chaos down there, and you did, and you wanted to blame our Second Amendment, but people leaked it. You see? So go ahead and show us your pure evil. Go ahead and move with your bravado and your arrogance. The word we're looking for is hubris. Move with your hubris now, because what you've done is illegal. A sitting mayor has told police, that's like telling air traffic controllers to go on strike with no notice. It is an active public fire in the theater crime Bloomberg has committed. But don't look for Fox News to go after him. Bill Kristol has called for all semi-autos to be banned on Fox News. We have the clip of that. Rupert Murdoch has come out in a tweet and in statements and said you have no right to a semi-automatic. They should all be banned. Piers Morgan has said ban all semi-automatics. Bloomberg has said ban all guns, period. And Michael Moore has said in the last 24 hours, we have the clips, ban everything down to a single-shot musket-loading black powder gun. This is the coordinated attack program. And Obama's set to sign the UN treaty as early as next Monday. He's not saying exactly when. He said the next 2 weeks, a week ago. They're set to sign it. They want to get the votes in the Senate. They're launching a total attack on us. You've got a better chance of being struck by lightning than being killed by a gun. So Bloomberg is an organized crime figure. And that's what he is. And he's there in New York with the organized crime police, shaking the public down, squeezing everybody, telling you what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to do. Selling for, you know, $30,000 gun permits. He is a criminal. He is a mobster. He's like Mayor Daley, you know, back in the old days and his criminal son. And he's here muscling America. He's saying, look, police, don't help people till the crime gets so bad they agree to turn their guns in. Really, places like Kennesaw, Georgia said it was a law you had to own a gun, and they had an 89% crime rate drop, the Justice Department admitted, in 1 year. every state that's put a concealed carry in so people understand they can carry guns. They could already carry them, but you just go through their licensing process to carry it concealed, because under common law, that's illegal. Criminals carry their weapons hidden in common law. That's where all this comes from, folks. So they go, oh, we'll give you a license for something that's illegal. Under common law, open isn't. See, but they hope everybody's ignorant about that. But in the places where they've put them in within 2 years, on average, look these up, 24% drop in violent crime. Home invasions, women jogging, it all, some of the statistics are even greater. That's an average. Police listening are all nodding their heads. They read those crime statistics. But that sure doesn't get pushed in the media, does it? Now, I know the average police. I've talked to a lot of them. People know 10 years ago I was all constantly after the police. Now more and more I've talked to so many, I've seen polls. I realize actually most of them actually understand what's happening. Because we told them, plus they're on the inside, they see it all coming true. But let me just tell you something. These criminals that run this country, the offshore megabanks that brag they've conquered this country, and I've read you Time Magazine, Economist, Financial Times, I've played video clips off the news. I mean, they're saying it. I've played Congress being told the UN is over our military. I'm getting chills so hard. I am, folks. I'm getting chills so... In fact, if you zoomed in on me, I've got goosebumps right now. I've actually got goosebumps right now, folks. Look, I've got goosebumps. This is so bad. You see that? I've got goosebumps right now.
Eyewitness, mysterious booms return to Wisconsin. Mysterious booms that plagued several towns in Wisconsin earlier this year appear to have returned, with an eyewitness reporting hearing the strange noises repeatedly over a 30-minute period last night. This was a couple of days ago. And of course, back in April, we had the big controversy about the booms that went on for weeks in Clintonville, Baraboo, Montello, and other areas in Wisconsin. They got the USGS in to declare that it was a swarm of earthquakes. Just forget about the fact that the booms actually started before the first earthquake was measured. Forget about the fact that Wisconsin is a geologically inactive area, and the fact that these USGS measured earthquakes were 1.5 on the Richter scale, which would only have been felt by one block of people, when in fact these booms were felt across the whole town. And it all adds up to another conundrum. The residents, of course, at the time didn't believe it. And this is allied to the fact that over the past 2 years, we've had this huge phenomenon on YouTube of people reporting these groaning trumpet-like sounds coming from the sky. Most of that can be explained by hysteria or simple hoaxes, but these booms have been measured. They've been recorded by sound engineers. Of course, the explanations range from the mundane to the ridiculous. Fracking, CO2 sequestration, and of course, secret underground military tunneling, which we know has taken place over the past several decades. So still no closer to getting to the actual truth about what's causing these booms, but it's certainly... is not mini swarms of earthquakes, because as was documented, these booms happened before it, and now it seems, according to this report, they've returned again. So we'll continue to watch it. Strange noises being reported once again in Wisconsin. What in the world is wrong with American kids? What in the world has happened to the children of America? All over the United States, kids are acting like half-crazed monsters, but most people seem to think this is normal. American kids today are selfish, self-centered, sadistic, cruel, disrespectful, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, incredibly brutal, and possess very little self-control whatsoever. And this article by Michael Snyder basically goes through just the recent examples. Of course, you had the bus monitor a few weeks ago being tormented by the kids. That went viral on YouTube, 8 million hits. You've got kids in this clip featured in this article on a bus torturing a special needs student. And you've also in America now, this started in the UK actually, they called it happy slapping. It's now being exported to America. Kids, gangs of kids, filming on their cell phones, picking out random strangers in the middle of the street to punch in the face. That's their idea of good time now. So basically, we're asking what's wrong with American kids, what's causing all this, you know, what produces the James Holmes of America, the mass shooters. And basically, you can lay the blame, partially at least, at the door of this entertainment industry that kids are hooked on. You know, how many mass shootings did we see in America before Columbine, before the mid to late 90s? Now they happen, what, several times a year? I don't have all the answers, but I know that, you know, when I was a kid, and I guess most people share this experience, you know, I was out in nature, I was out playing football, I was out in the real world. Where are kids today? The average young American spends 10,000 hours playing video games by the age of 21, which is twice the amount of time it takes to earn a bachelor's degree. Total waste of time, you know, in one sense. And what are most of these video games full of? Well, mindless violence. Does that mean that hordes of people who play violent video games are going to go out and kill people en masse? No. But does it desensitize these few deranged individuals that carry out these mass shootings? Does it make them more prepared to go out there and kill? Well, yes, judging by the fact that before video games really got violent in the 90s, most of these mass shootings, I mean, they were virtually non-existent. And again, Anders Breivik, James Holmes, both obsessive gamers, World of Warcraft and all that. But, you know, it's not just video games, it's the movies, it's the music industry. What do we see being pumped out? Violence, nihilism, moral relativism, you know, lack of responsibility, hopelessness. And it's a potent cocktail. It's a dark ecstasy that the elite, through the entertainment system which they own, has been used to enslave our children and entire generation of people and get them hooked on this Babylon system. So, you know, what's the solution? Is it to ban video games, music, movies? No. I mean, what we need is some kind of major cultural renaissance to rescue our culture, because it's in the pits, it's in the sewer. Anyone with a brain can see that. And, you know, it's about wrestling back control over our children's minds and their activities, their day-to-day activities, from the entertainment industry that's got them hooked on this dark ecstasy, this violence, this lack of responsibility, this nihilism. And, you know, it's got to start with the parents getting them out of the government schools, which thankfully is happening to a greater and greater degree. And, you know, we've just got to have the hope that this is cyclical in nature, because the way it's heading at the moment, with all these recent incidents that are featured in this article, we're really not that far away from a truly decrepit, Clockwork Orange-style droog culture and society, you know, with ultra-violence as the most seductive drug. So just more examples of that coming out, and we really need to get a hold on it, because the culture at the moment is in the pits. Moving on to global news, actually domestic news, with the election, latest word on the trail, I take it back. This is out of the New York Times. The quotations come back redacted, stripped of colourful metaphors, colloquial language and anything even mildly provocative. They are sent by email from the Obama headquarters in Chicago to reporters who have interviewed campaign officials under one major condition. The press office has veto power over what statements can be quoted and attributed by name. Most reporters, desperate to pick the brains of the president's top strategists, grudgingly agree. After the interviews, they review their notes, check their tape recorders, and send in the juiciest soundbites for review. The verdict from the campaign, an operation that prides itself on staying consistently on script, is often no. Barack Obama does not approve this message. And this article has been out for 10 days, and it's only just getting attention. You know, like it was no big deal. The Obama administration, the White House, it's the same with the Romney campaign, ordering reporters and telling them what quotes they can and cannot use, even though the reporters have already got the quotes, they've recorded them. They have to go back to the White House and ask permission just to use the quotes. And then you go on to learn that almost every single mainstream news outlet has agreed to this precondition that they have to get approval from the government before they can run the quotes. So, you know, I guess state-run media is just the norm now. You know, it's good enough for North Korea and China. Why not in America? And as Joseph Farah pointed out, the World Net Daily, perhaps the, you know, the biggest culprits in all this are the actual prostitutes themselves who have agreed to this precondition. And this is what he said about it. Quote, "All I can say about these people I once considered colleagues is that I am so ashamed of them. I am mortified. They are humiliating themselves and a vital institution for any free society. It seems the biggest threat to the American tradition of a free and independent press is not government coercion. It's the willing submission of the press to being handled and managed by government and politicians. So there you have it. It's official. State-run media in America with the election 2012. And I mean, half the media is just about, you know, getting press releases from government corporations and blithely reading them out anyway. So why not go the whole hog and just, you know, get permission from the government on what you can and can't say and what quotes Barack Obama has used. Amazing revelations, and this article's been out for 10 days out of the New York Times, and it's only just getting traction. So state-run media has officially come to America. That's the news for tonight, but stick around, because after the break is our interview with George Heminger about TSA agents now in train stations in Southern California as the occupation of America through the TSA continues. Stay tuned.
Have you been to InfoWarsShop.com lately? Express your inner patriot with these brand new InfoWars t-shirts. Say it loud with the InfoWars bullhorn shirt. Or educate the sheeple with the Bill of Rights shirt. Grope the public's mind with the TSA shirt. And with this shirt, you can let the dark side know of the Rebel Alliance's power. All available at InfoWarsShop.com.
Sick of the globalist eugenicist control freaks adding poison to your water and laughing as you get sick and die? Start purifying your water with ProPure. My friends, I've done a lot of research, and the best gravity filter out there, bar none, is ProPure, and it's available discounted at InfoWars.com. Its filters are silver impregnated to prevent bacterial growth. There's no priming required. It's NSF 42 certified. Optional fluoride filters can reduce fluoride up to 95%. Easy to set up and use. Doesn't require electricity. Purify water from lakes, streams, ponds, and wells. This filter system leaves in beneficial minerals, which is key. Save money by not buying bottled water and avoid BPA that leaches from the plastic. ProPure is the best gravity-fed filter out there. It's what my family uses. InfoWars.com already has the lowest price on ProPure. But if you add the promo code WATER at checkout, you get an additional 10% off at InfoWars.com. You can also call to order 888-253-3139.
It's Paul Joseph Watson back with InfoWars Nightly News, and I'm delighted to be joined by George Heminger of BusinessTVShow.com. And basically, this is one of the top stories on the Drudge Report as we speak, and it's the story about how while he was traveling through Oceanside Transit Center in Southern California, George spotted TSA inspectors outside there on the platform, and it's just another example of this expanding TSA police state. So we're going to get George on now to give us more details. George, tell us how this came about and what these TSA agents told you, because I understand you actually spoke to them.
Yeah, actually, I own a business here in Encinitas where we help small businesses with video. So I always have my camera on me, and I've been taking the train the last few months down here. Just recently, in the last few weeks, I've been noticing a show of police. You know, these are 9, 10 individuals standing around with their drug-sniffing dogs. And I didn't take video of it at first, but the second time that I saw them, I said, you know, I'm gonna shoot some video, but I'm gonna go talk to them first, find out exactly what they're doing. And they indicated to me that this is a new program. It's an expanding program of TSA. They're just starting to implement it. And I told them I'd like to take a picture of them, or take a video of them. And he stood back a little bit and said, there's nothing I can do to stop you, but if we catch you, you're probably going to be questioned. So hence the quality of the video. It's at a distance and shot from the train. I just, you know, I wanted to be careful and wanted to take some type of precaution and not instigate them in any way.
Well, no, I mean, you can't film a god. God forbid you would film a god. You know, it's like it's getting to the stage where it's don't depict the Prophet Muhammad. It's getting to that stage with police. Of course, there've been many cases of people actually being arrested for filming police and TSA. But I mean, what were they, did you see them searching people? Were they questioning people, or were they just standing around on the platform?
They would move back and forth with the dog. They'd be patrolling the area in pairs, and they'd be congregating at different locations. You know, I've seen them congregate around the staircase, and they would congregate around the ticket area. And I'm assuming that this is just the beginning steps of a more invasive violation of our basic rights to travel. It's very disconcerting for me. That's one of the reasons why I don't fly as much as I used to when I first started doing this YouTube channel. Is I just got tired of the TSA, and now I'm finding out it's going to be very difficult to ride buses and trains. Where can you go? I've literally, if you're in your car, you're being stopped at DUI and border checkpoints. And now, if we ride the bus or ride the train stations, what are they going to be doing next? You know, are we going to have to go through metal detectors to get on the bus? Are they going to be patting us down, searching our bags? I mean, it's just absolute violation of our right to travel here in California.
Well, you know, we had the massacre last week, George. I'm sure that TSA agents at the movie theaters groping people, that's going to stop mass shootings, isn't it, surely?
Well, I mean, I understand that the Colorado shooting is having a massive effect on the consciousness of Americans. But I've seen this police state or intrusion of police on our ability to travel. That it's been going on for years, and it's just encroaching more and more. When I was down here on the coast, I was stopped by police for just holding a camera. If you're just holding a video camera, which it is your right to do, and you can film on any public sidewalk, they literally stopped me, asked me my name, asked for my ID. I told them I don't want to comply, and I was put up against a car, and they wanted to frisk me, search my bags. I just said, I do not consent. And after about 15, 20 minutes of interrogation, they finally let me go because I stood up for my rights. And I think people are going to have to do that, where, you know, you do not consent as much as you can to the police state that's coming down upon us. You need to stand up for your rights, take your cameras out, take your video cameras out, and start videotaping and recording some of this, so that way, you know, in some ways we can fight against the tyranny and the police state that's coming down on us right now.
Well, that seems to be the key, is the lack of consent, because, I mean, there were two recent examples. There was a garage sale, I think that was in California, where the police came on the property, demanded to search this yard sale without a warrant, and the people there were informed, they knew about their rights, they were members of Cop Watch and these organizations that deal with police brutality, and they basically said, get the hell out of here, and the police had to obey. Then there was the other case recently, as you mentioned, with the border crossings, the border checkpoint, sorry, which are literally now, you know, 100 miles inside the border, where the guy gets questioned, you know, are you an American citizen? What are you doing? Where are you going? And he basically just said, no, I'm not complying with this unconstitutional order. And they had to let him go. So obviously you're going to get roid head cops that pull people out and slam them up against cars. But now we're seeing more and more people refusing to comply. And the cops are having to back down, aren't they, in some cases?
Yeah, the police are actually educated. I think in a lot of ways they're told what are citizens' rights. They're just so used to Americans not exercising their freedoms that they just will try to run over them. And I think people really need to understand that it is our freedom to take photographs. It is our freedom to take video in public areas. And at least in California, and I understand most of the states, it's legal to film officers while they're on duty. I think more and more Americans need to do that, so that way the police become comfortable with a populace that is informed, that is recording their actions. And in general, I think all Americans need to understand that they're being filmed regardless by private corporations and public entities in public. They need to understand the right of individuals to hold a camera and shoot video footage.
Just turning back to the TSA, I mean, you obviously travel quite regularly. I mean, the New York Times has admitted the vast majority of domestic terror plots in the United States are completely provocateured by the FBI. And yet we've got the TSA, which is caught in scandal after scandal on a weekly basis expanding. Congress recently gave the green light for funding, you know, 9,300 checkpoints last year. There's more this year. So what's the purpose? We know it's not for terrorism. We know it's not for security. Why are they using the TSA literally as this occupying army?
The only thing I can say, it's a violation of our rights, and they're somehow getting us used to this idea of a police state, overreaching state, where they can, you know, reach into our bags, personal belongings, frisk ourselves, frisk our children, and get people used to the culture of a tyrannical state. And I think those of us that have studied on the internet, and there's more and more of us that are understanding our rights and our freedoms, it's being very difficult to operate in this current society. And we're getting to the point where it's uncomfortable to drive and come upon a checkpoint and comply with what they're requiring us to do, giving up our rights, you know, asking us for our ID without reasonable suspicion that we've committed a crime. I think what's happening is there's a divergence in society, and those of us that are learning about our rights, learning about our freedoms, are having a very difficult time accepting the police state, and you're going to see confrontation. You're going to see people not buying, and now the TSA is getting into trains and bus terminals. You're going to have people, I mean, there has to be a point here where you can't avoid the police state, and we have to make a stand. And I think that's what we're seeing in certain parts of Southern California with the shooting of the unarmed man in Anaheim. You're seeing normal, everyday people come out in the streets, block streets, and the police are coming out very violently with they're shooting at people with rubber bullets. They're releasing attack dogs on mothers, children, men. And the internet, with its reach of information and video footage, is just spurring more protest debates. There's footage coming out of Anaheim that is just amazing. I mean, they're shooting randomly at American citizens right now in parts of Southern California.
And this was started off, correct me if I'm wrong, they shot two people dead, one of whom definitely was unarmed and was actually running away from police. They shot him dead. And then these riots have been going on for the past two nights, and it's literally a mini martial law there, isn't it?
Well, I don't want to talk about the details of the shooting because I'm not sure, but I'm very, very sure that one of the men that were shot in Anaheim was unarmed, and he made it back to the apartment complex where the community knew him. And these are friends, family, neighbors that knew the gentleman that was shot, and they came out, you know, randomly to protest. And when they started throwing water bottles, the police say rocks, and they lit a dumpster on fire, the police responded very, very violently. Local Channel 9, I believe, covered the story, and that video is going viral. And now we're starting to see other images. So what you have here in parts of Southern California is just a police training. Apparently, they're not equipped to deal with the mass information, the mass spreading of news and video footage online. And, you know, you're having incidents like the Fullerton Police Department where they killed a homeless man in cold blood. And now they shot an unarmed man in Anaheim. You're seeing massive demonstrations happening. You know, we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of people. So in a way, we are having limited martial law in Southern California when, you know, when you can't even go out on the street with your cell phone and shoot video footage and you're getting shot at by the police. They're actually shutting down limited areas in Orange County, from what I understand from the reports I'm getting.
And isn't it the case that, I mean, we see these videos about police brutality on a daily basis. The resentment continues to build. But do you think it's going to take something really horrible, like on the scale of Kent State or, you know, God forbid, Tiananmen Square, for the pressure to really push this over the edge on the issue of police brutality?
No, I think police brutality will not end. I think what we're looking at here is an arm of the federal and the local municipalities to enforce their laws. And as we saw in the Occupy movement, the harsh restrictions, the using of violence against peaceful protesters, I think what you're seeing in America is just a divergence of the haves and the have-nots. And the haves totally understand that if they allow people to peacefully protest, that they will shut down intersections, they will shut down commerce, and they will eventually come for them. So I think what you're seeing right now is, you know, the elite, or lack of a better term, the New World Order, are understanding that they have to violently suppress any type of peaceful movement or protest, because they know inherently it will seize their wealth, it will seize their power, and it may even seize their lives if these protests and the economic situation gets any worse. So I think till the bitter end, we're going to see police as agents of the state, and they are going to be enforcing the rules and the legislation and protecting the powers that be. I think the only way you're going to see the cessation of police brutality is the collapse of the dollar and the collapse of society and the collapse of the economy, like we saw in Argentina, Russia, and you'll see police lose their power because they won't have money. But then at that time, I believe it will degrade to, you know, martial law and private, kind of like warlord situations, where you're going to find the police that are going to be joining private mafias. But that's my own take on it.
And you mentioned you're actually going down to Anaheim because there's footage now of people just innocently filming these protests who are getting shot by rubber bullets. So you're heading down there, correct?
Yeah, I shared with one of your producers a video that I saw online, and I'm going to be headed up to Anaheim this afternoon and try to find out the streets and the intersections that they're actually trying to lock down. Apparently, I'm hearing reports that they are locking down entire sections or small sections of the city. I don't know all the details, but what I do know is the police are randomly firing rubber bullets at Americans that may or may not be involved in the protest. To me, that's news. That is news, because to me, that's a mini form of martial law, where you start shutting down sections of the city and you start firing randomly at American citizens walking on the street.
And just briefly here in closing, tell us about where people can find your material. Tell us what you do at businesstvshow.com.
Okay, yeah, I've been YouTubing on alternative news on YouTube, George, the number 4 title. You guys can check me out. I try to upload videos every couple days talking about what's happening in Southern California from an economic perspective, from a political perspective. But I also own a business called businesstvshow.com, where we help small businesses get online, do video, things of that sort.
Well, George Heminger, it's one of the top stories at drudgereport.com, your encounter with the TSA via Infowars.com. And we'll be sure to be hearing from you in the near future. Thanks for joining us on Infowars Nightly News.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
There you see the article, one of the top stories on drudgereport.com. TSA expands to California train stations and bus terminals. Here in closing, I'd like to remind you to subscribe to prisonplanet.tv. Of course, that's the big driver of this entire network. $5.95 a month. We've still got the special 15-day free trial running. Of course, if you're watching this on YouTube, then it's broadcast first on prisonplanet.tv, as is the Alex Jones Show live video streaming, every Alex Jones documentary, numerous speeches, special events, special interviews, is all online for subscribers at prisonplanet.tv. And also our new social network, planetinfowars.com. That's the place where you can meet up with like-minded people. You can host your own blog. You can arrange activist get-togethers. There's even a dating section. You want to form relationships with other info warriors. Free to join. Tens of thousands of people already have. And it's planetinfowars.com. That's going to do it for this edition of InfoWars Nightly News. I've been your host, Paul Joseph Watson. We'll see you next time.